The Israel Report with Rolien Marx.
Good afternoon, Rolien.
Good afternoon, guys. I missed you yesterday.
We missed you indeed, and we're very happy to welcome you back to the show this afternoon. Our first discussion point today is a point that we don't want to see in the news, but we see that there was a major terror attack that took place in the Ariel industrial zone this morning. Maybe if you can give us a little background, what happened?
Well, what we do have confirmed is that three Israelis were killed and between 4 to 6 others injured, some in serious condition, after an 18-year-old terrorist by the name of Mohammed Souf, who was working as a cleaner in the Ariel industrial zone, came in with his work permit, and he is reported to have first stabbed three Israelis at the 10 garage. This is a petrol station, or a gas station as we call it here. He then is reported to have stolen a car and driven into the oncoming traffic, again driving against the traffic and causing a major accident. And he was subsequently neutralized by a soldier. So this happened at about 9:28 this morning. And we are waiting for identification of two of the victims. We do have one of the victims identified as 50-year-old father of 6, Tomer Avichai. And, days like this, the collective heart of Israel is absolutely shattered.
Absolutely. We're feeling it here in South Africa too. Baruch Dayan HaMet. And also the U.S. Department of Justice has said that they'll be launching an investigation into the death of Shirin Abu Akleh. This has been investigated. What does this mean?
So this is unprecedented for the United States to open this kind of investigation against one of their allies, and it doesn't send a very good message to Israel. It essentially sends a message that they don't trust Israel's ability to investigate ourselves, our army's ability to investigate ourselves. So let's just go back to May this year. Shirin Abu Akleh, a war correspondent for Al Jazeera, was killed during a heavy exchange of fire between Palestinian terrorists and gunmen and IDF counter-terror forces. This is while they're conducting the ongoing operation breaking the wave of terror. And unfortunately, she was killed in the crossfire. Now, it is an absolute tragic accident. But unfortunately for war correspondents, this is the risk that you take going into an active conflict zone or war zone. And we've seen this play out this year in Ukraine, in India, in areas all across the world. However, with the issue of Shirin Abu Akleh, it has become very, very heavily politicized. Now, at the outset, the Palestinian coroner, when he conducted his autopsy, examined the bullet, he said it was absolutely indefinable who was responsible for firing the fatal shot. Independent forensic investigators from the United States came to the same conclusion. And when the incident happened, the IDF said that they would open an operational investigation into the circumstances. And their conclusion was that while it was inconclusive who was responsible for firing the fatal shot, because the bullet was so badly damaged, there is a probability that it could have come from an IDF gun. Now, you would think that this was concluded, and it's a very, very, very unfortunate and tragic event, but there have been investigations. Now, the Department of Justice last night making the announcement that they will be giving the FBI permission to investigate the circumstances around the death of Abu Akleh. Now, she did hold dual Palestinian and U.S. citizenship, but as you can imagine, this has not been received very well in Israel at all.
And that's what I was going to ask you. What is Israel's response to this after all the investigations that they're opening it up again?
Well, Defence Minister Benny Gantz has said that this is a grave mistake on behalf of the United States to open this investigation. It's an internal issue here in Israel. So basically they are effectively interfering with internal investigations and internal issues, which is not what you do to your ally or any other country, and that Israel will not be cooperating. We've conducted our investigations and we've come to the conclusions. Now, we do believe that there are specific interest groups or specific, we can call them left-leaning activists that have pushed very, very, very hard for the State Department to do something about initiating or putting the pressure on the Department of Justice to do something about this investigation. But it hasn't been received here well at all, especially in line of the fact that we are still waiting for Alan Tamimi, who is responsible for masterminding a terror attack several years ago that saw Malki Roth, amongst several others, killed in that attack. Malki also had dual U.S. citizenship, and we are waiting for Alan Tamimi to be extradited back to the United States to face trial. So this is a glaring, horrible double standard on behalf of the United States.
Absolutely. And what message does this effectively send?
Well, this does send a message that you know, the United States doesn't trust Israel's ability to investigate ourselves. We would never entertain any thoughts of initiating investigations into the internal issues of another country's internal affairs. So this really has left a very sour taste in the mouths of Israelis.
Absolutely. And yesterday you were not on air with us as you were down south touring the Gaza envelope area with the JNF USA. Can you share some of what happened there yesterday, some observations?
Well, I think it's important to talk about the stories of the people of the South. Yesterday, as a part of a collective of female activists, we went down to look at the incredible projects being done by the Jewish National Fund, USA. Now, there are incredible projects being done by organizations like WITSO, like Keren HaYesod, like various other organizations, really trying to strengthen the resilience and also help the residents of the South deal with a lot of the trauma that they endure. We can't call it PTSD because there is no post in this stress disorder. This is ongoing. So it was very, very humbling, not just to hear about their situation, how communities are working together, how they act very, very quickly and are mobilized very quickly when there are escalations. But it was also important, especially in light of rising anti-Semitism around the world, to see for ourselves the miracles that Israel is doing in the desert. I had the privilege of visiting the Chalutza dairy farm. They don't just farm dairy, with some really, really sweet and friendly cows. And just in case you were wondering, in Israel, we monitor the happiness index of our cows in the Negev. Yes, cows in the desert. And if our cows are found not to be happy enough, we move them around so that they can make new bovine friends. This is an absolute fact, and it could explain why Israel's dairy is so good. But what was really striking to me was a project done on the same farm where they are harvesting collagen from tobacco plants using science, using some genetic modification to withdraw that collagen, sending it to the Weizmann Institute, one of the leading scientific research institutes in the world, and the ability to print via 3D printing various organs. You know, this is the future that Israel is making. as we speak. So it's really extraordinary. And then just to see what is being done to strengthen, especially the children of the South. These are children that for generations don't know what it is like to live a life without the threat of Tseba Adom or rocket alert coming in. These are children that need a lot of care, a lot of therapy to help them process with the challenges that they face. There are really heartbreaking accounts of children or teenagers, 14 above, who still wet the bed, who still need to sleep with their parents, who are terrified during a time of escalation to leave the shelter, to carry on with their lives. And it was also very, very important to be 1.6 kilometers from the border with Gaza where I was. I could hear the calls to prayer and listen to the volunteer firefighters, the volunteer security personnel explain how quickly they have to mobilize and how they work. And possibly the most striking comment for me was that it's easier to deal with a massive escalation than it is to deal with one errant rocket here or there because you don't know quite how to process that. So very, very enlightening. And really, I urge everybody, I know in times like this when it's quiet, we don't often hear the stories of the people of the South, but it is important that we hear what they endure and also that we tell other people their stories because, as I was reminded yesterday, the media don't come to talk to them.
Sure, absolutely. Thank you, Rolene. Welcome back. And that was Rolene Marks with the Israel Report. And thank you for joining us this afternoon.